Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and you're listening to Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christine Lurie, and here are your local news headlines.
Kingston City Council passed a motion at their last meeting to request action from higher levels of government to address Kingston's healthcare crisis. The motion brought forward by Councillor Tozo included various requests, including that the Ministry of Health designate Kingston as an area of high physician need, that the province of Ontario work with communities to increase primary care, and that the province establish a regulatory framework to prevent municipalities from competing against each other for physicians and primary care providers. This motion comes at a crucial time with over 30,000 community members without a family doctor, and healthcare workers experiencing burnout and lacking confidence in the system. This motion was also motivated by an event in late February, where hundreds of Kingstonians lined up in front of the CDK Family Medicine and Walk-In Clinic on a freezing cold winter night in hopes of securing a family doctor.
In a country as prosperous as Canada, with its commitment to healthcare for all, we have to ask and beg the provincial government to make sure we have enough family doctors for our constituents. It shouldn't be this way. Our city is doing a lot to attract doctors. We're exploring new healthcare models. We've dedicated $2 million of our previous budget and another $1 million that Councillor Hassan put forward, and he was right to do so to meet the needs of our constituents during the last budget, to attract even more. I remember that night because Mayor Patterson called it madness. And it is madness. It's madness that municipalities are spending money to attract doctors because we're in a crisis. We are competing with other cities across Ontario and across Canada for family doctors. This is not sustainable.
While Kingston does have a higher number of doctors than many communities, many of them are researchers, teachers, and professors with a medical doctorate, not just those practicing family medicine. With frustration, council discussed the severity of the issue, exasperated by the lack of support from higher levels of government and urging them to step up.
I do not want, nor do I think it is fair, for municipal councils to bear the brunt of this, nor to be the face of this. So again, I think just personally, I'm done being nice. I'm gonna call out every other level of government that allowed this to transpire and get us to this point, and just say that, you know, from a provincial level, and even from, you know, for the influence that the federal level has on transfer payments in our healthcare systems, it's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing to think that, as Councillor Tozo mentioned, in a country that is as prosperous as Canada, that we are dealing with this as a city of Kingston Council.
You know, I can just go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And it feels like we do this every meeting, Your Worship, on and on and on and on and on and on and on about issues that are outside of our jurisdiction. Excuse me, I'm a little worked up. Both of these motions this evening, which I support, because I do believe that advocacy to other levels of government is important as a municipality, but both of these motions and many of the other motions that are introduced, myself, I'm guilty of that as well, we are constantly trying to fill the cracks in the systems from other levels of government.
The motion passed with a vote of 11-1, and a copy is being sent along to local MPs, MPPs, and the Association of Municipalities of Ontario.
I know it's probably our voice is not going to be heard, but at least we can send it there, and that's our job. They hear it, they do something, or they don't do that, that's their job. But we will not stop speaking.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening, and next up is Zayden Vergara with your sports desk.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Zayden Vergara, and stay tuned tonight at 5:30 for your CFRC Sports Rundown, where I'll be joined by Ian Donaldson, and we'll be breaking down your OUA playoffs. Starting off with men's basketball, we'll be taking a look at the Final Eight as they made their way all the way towards the championship. Then we'll be taking a look at how your women's basketball team did in their respective championship. With basketball concluding, we're going to be shifting gears right on over to volleyball as your Queen's Golden Gales fell to the McMaster Marauders in the OUA Finals to get a silver medal. But their season isn't over yet, because we still have the U Sports Championship that's coming up this weekend at the Arc Main Gym. Passes can be purchased at GoGalesGo.com. It's still going to be an absolutely electric atmosphere, and you do not want to miss out. Finally, to wrap things up, we'll be taking a look at your Kingston Frontenacs with a 4-1 win against the Sarnia Stingers this past Sunday afternoon. They've clinched a spot in the OHL playoffs. And after a long stretch of away games, your Fronts are making a home return this Friday the 15th to face off against the Peterborough Petes at 7 p.m. This is also one of the student games, meaning that there are $15 student tickets as well as $5 beverages. Skate right on over to Ticketmaster to score big on this deal. There'll also be a St. Patrick's Day game the Sunday the 17th at 2 p.m. where the Fronts will be donning their St. Patrick's Day attire. All this and more at 5:30, but on that note, over to Erica Singh with your campus news update.
Hello and welcome to Campus Corner. My name is Erica Singh, and today I'm joined by three very special guests. And can you please tell us a little bit about the play, like a brief summary?
So this play, Paradise Lost, by Aaron Shields, is adapted from John Milton's book, Paradise Lost, which is the story of Genesis. So it's the story of Adam and Eve and the fall. His book was written in Old English and was very heteronormative and masculine, and Aaron Shields essentially adapted this into a play and also adapted it into a more relevant and feminist story that doesn't necessarily put Eve as the antagonist, which she is always perceived to be and is one of the reasons why men feel like they have power over women. So Aaron Shields really takes this and turns the story on its head and offers a counter argument as to why it may not necessarily be Eve's fault and the general outside pressures that lead up to this point. It's a really very well written play. It has so many great elements of comedy and also very powerful dramatic scenes at the same time. And Evelyn Perry, who's the director, has done a really, really great job bringing it to life. As well as the set designers and the costume designers have really made it sparkle. I think it's going to be a really beautiful production.
No, I agree. It's a really special rendition of this very classic story through a feminist retelling or a feminist lens. A lot of the characters that were originally portrayed as male characters in John Milton's version of Paradise Lost are actually portrayed as either female or androgynous, like they could be played as male or female. Specifically, Satan in this version, in Aaron Shields' version, is played as a woman, which is a very interesting take on the story, and it really brings to light some really relevant modern aspects to the story. As well as the course of the damned, all of our characters are also played by female presenting actors and female presenting characters, as opposed to all being male characters, which I think is a really important way to just show how stories can be taken and be changed and shown in new ways to better include representation for all different kinds of people.
Could you all just please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the play?
First, my name's Deanna. I'm Deanna Servi. I'm a fourth year drama major and con ed student. So I've been in the drama program for the past 4 years, and last year for the winter major, everybody, I was the assistant production manager. So I applied to be the production manager for this upcoming winter major. Luckily I got it, and I've been involved since last April in making this production happen.
Hi, my name is Alina. I am an actor in this show. I play one of the characters in The Chorus of the Damned. And I got involved in this production actually by reference from my Drama 100 professor and TA. So I'm in first year, and I knew I wanted to be a part of like the dance school community, and was recommended by my prof and my TA to audition for this show because I thought it'd be a good fit for me. I went to the auditions, I got a callback, and then I ended up getting the role that I was cast in. My character is named Belial, and like I said, is in The Chorus of the Damned. Yeah, and so I've been working on this production since about December, January, until now.
Hi, I'm Eleanor Guy. I play Eve in Paradise Lost. I got involved in this production around November when the audition started happening, and I heard about it through Instagram, actually. I was applying to a course in second semester and had spent a lot of time talking to the dance school about trying to get into this dance school course, and it made me interested in what the dance school was. So I ended up looking it up online and looking it up on Instagram because I actually didn't really know what what the school consisted of. And then I knew it was music and drama, which is something that I'm interested in. So I found them on Instagram, and I found actually 2 or 3 days before the audition, the post that they were doing auditions for Paradise Lost. And I had read the play back in January of 2022, and I loved it. And I've seen a lot of Erin Shields' work, and I think she's amazing. And it was definitely something I wanted to be part of. And I knew I loved the script, so I immediately got some monologues on their feet that I brought back up from things I'd done in the past, as well as the one that they gave us. And same thing, I did the audition, which was a great experience. The callback was really awesome. It was with a bunch of other really cool people, and we were given cold reads. And it was the first time working with the guy who plays Adam, Ricky. And so that was really nice to meet him and have the opportunity to read together. And then I got asked to play Eve, and it was a very exciting email to receive.
So you've talked a little bit about this already, but is there, to each of you, what is the most special moment in the play that you can share without spoiling too much?
To me, the most special aspect of the production itself, so speaking as the production manager, it's hard to pinpoint an exact moment in the script or like in the scenes that like stands out the most, because everybody does just such an amazing job throughout the whole thing, like start to finish. But I really think that the most special aspect, just overarching, is how student run it is. So we have student designers, student heads of departments, student crew members, student actors, a student diamond team, and it's all under the guidance of the dance school faculty and staff. And we have our outside director, Evelyn Perry, as Eleanor mentioned, who came in to direct this show for us. And in their directing dance school directing debut, they're really showcasing all of the works from the entire production in the show, with like giving each design and giving each department a chance to really shine in their individual ways. I think that the lighting design, the costume, the set, the props, every design aspect, every departmental aspect that goes into it is just so special, because it's coming from students and students' hard work and student management and all of that.
I think what's most special about this production for me is it's been the first, I think, opportunity for me to kind of work on portraying femininity in a way that is not like the conventional, like the characters meant to be there to support the man and what the man does. Like, this story is very led and driven by a lot of female characters, as opposed to the typical like normative masculine driven like narratives in plays and stories. And so with this, I've had the chance to work in groups in a very like safe, like the best way I can describe it is it's a safe environment to try things with my acting, to try things with my voice, to try things with delivery and experiment with feelings that are usually not explored in everyday life, such as like anger and rage and grief and all of these things, which are very complicated and hard emotions to work on and portray as an actor. I've had such a very safe, inclusive, welcoming space to work on that. And I really think that's because this play comes from a very inclusive like background, as well as everyone on the team is so incredibly respectful and welcoming and kind. Every single person I've had interactions with on this team has been very like just amazing in all senses. I think we have just a very special team to work with.
Yeah, for me, on a more like actor related within the play realm, I love playing this character because the way it's written feels at the beginning, or could be interpreted if misunderstood, very one-dimensional. If you don't know very much, and even just like when I got the role, I was struggling with how to bring life to this character in a way that makes her own before she is her own, because essentially there's a moment, and this isn't a spoiler because everybody I hope knows this story, but there's a moment in the second half where she eats the apple and essentially gains knowledge that she hadn't had before. And that difference between before that moment and after that moment is really striking, or has to be really striking. And so for me as an actor, being able to portray a character before that and after that was a real task, because I didn't want her to seem dumb. In no way did I ever want her to feel stupid or not in control of herself, even if she doesn't know everything. So finding a good balance between curiosity, but selflessness and sort of without ego before the fall, and then after the fall, the physicality changes, the vocal, where I sit in my voice changes. And it's really so much fun as an actor to be able to kind of go from a childlike stage of wonder to a full-formed adult throughout the span of the play. And I just have so much fun. It's such a special character, and I am really grateful.
All right, that sounds so amazing. So the play is running early next week on Wednesday. Can you guys just share how long the play is going to run, how much tickets are, and where people can get their tickets?
That's my bread and butter. So we have our preview performance that is a pay what you can performance on March the 6th. Then our opening night will be March the 7th, so the day after, running all the way until March 17th. We have both evening and matinee shows, matinees on the Sundays of the run. Our sensory friendly performance will be on March 13th, and our mask encouraged performance is on March 10th. And to get tickets, you can follow the link in the bio of the Dance School Majors Instagram, or go on the Isabel Center of Performing Arts website and find under What's New, you can find Paradise Lost or on the calendar, and I'll take you to our ticket page.
Thank you so much, everyone. Once again, that was the cast and crew of Paradise Lost. Make sure to get your tickets either on the Isabel Bader website or on the Instagram page of the Dance School of Music. Tickets for students start at $15, and the general public tickets start at $26.79. Thank you so much, and now over to the weather.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report and the City of Kingston Traffic Report. We begin with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. We're going to see a low overnight temperature of -4, so it will be chilly, but things are going to warm up to unseasonably high temperatures. Tuesday, March 12th, we're going to see a high of 12 degrees Celsius, and it will be sunny, overnight dropping down to a low of 3. Wednesday, March 13th, we are going to see a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of precipitation, overnight temperature dropping down to 1 degree. We move now to the traffic report for the City of Kingston. Let's start with road closures. King Street East and West to Lower Union will be closed Monday, March 11th to Wednesday, March 13th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day for a water and sewer service replacement. King Street and Tragically Hip Way to Place d'Armes will be closed Thursday, March 14th from 5:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. for the Cure Cancer Classic event at the Slush Puppy Place. University Avenue, Union to Earl will be closed until May 29th for the removal of debris from demolition and concrete deliveries at the Queen's John Deutsch University Center project. The LaSalle Causeway will be closed at various points during the next week for a major rehabilitation project. Monday, March 11th to Thursday, March 14th, it will be closed from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. and Friday, March 15th to Monday, March 18th from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. And lastly, motorists can expect an eastbound lane closure from Queen Street to Montreal and Sydenham until at least April 1st, 2024. Detours will be in place for the duration of the lane closure. This concludes your Environment Canada Weather Report and City of Kingston Traffic Report for Monday, March 11th, 2024.
And now it's time for the Community Events and Concerts calendar for March 11th to 17th. Have an event you'd like covered on our website or news programming? Contact us via cfrc.ca today. On March 11th, head to the Invista Center for a 15-plus group Zumba class from 6 to 6:45 p.m. This will be an energetic session filled with music, exhilarating dance moves, and an atmosphere of fun and fitness. Classes will take place on Mondays from 6 to 6:45 p.m. and Wednesdays from 5 to 5:45 p.m. Each class is $9.10. To reserve a spot, visit cityofkingston.perfectmind.com. Also on March 11th, the Recreational Run Club, a beginner intermediate run club for Queen students and staff members who want to start running, increase their distance, time, or simply find some running buddies, will be held on Mondays at 2:30 p.m. and Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Runners will meet outside of the Athletic and Recreation Center. Register for the club and pay the one-time membership fee at gogalesgo.com. On March 12th, head over to Mitchell Hall to pet Oscar, the fluffy golden retriever. Oscar is a St. John's Ambulance Therapy Dog who will be greeting students on the main floor from 12 to 1 p.m. No registration is required. Feel free to drop in at any point during the hour. On March 13th, the second annual cultural market presented by Queen's Mental Health Awareness Committee will be taking place at Grant Hall. This vibrant and enriching event allows the opportunity to explore the diverse tapestry of cultures, featuring over 20 clubs from around the globe. This is a drop-in event that runs from 6 to 9 p.m. No need to register. Calling all Swifties. On March 13th, head to the Rocking Horse for a free friendship bracelet-making event from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Share laughs, stories, and creativity while creating beautiful bracelets to exchange with your pals. Register for this event at therockinghorse.ca. On March 14th, Art Hive will be held at Agnes Etherington Arts Center from 4 to 6 p.m. Art Hive is a chance for aspiring artists to explore the creative process through experimentation and play. Materials are provided and no prior art experience is necessary to participate. To register for free, visit agnes.queensu.ca. On Friday, March 15th, wrap up the week on a green note with Get Growing at the Rocking Horse from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. From potted plants to seed planting, discover the joys of nurturing nature. Register and pay the $5 admission fee at therockinghorse.ca. On March 16th, there will be a mixed martial arts competition at the Leon Center from 6 to 9 p.m. The card is expected to feature up to 14 bouts, including a title fight under the BTC Fight Promotions banner. Tickets vary in price and can be purchased at ticketmaster.ca. Also on March 16th, Queen's Observatory will be hosting an open house at Ellis Hall from 7:30 to 10 p.m. This event will include a presentation from featured speaker Parisa Nazari, Queen's Astronomy and Astrophysics PhD student, who will discuss dust in the interstellar medium and the inefficiency of star formation. The presentation will be followed by a tour of the observatory's facilities. Don't miss the chance to attend this entirely free event that is open to all ages. No need to register. And lastly, on March 17th, City Hall will be lit up green for Irish Heritage Day. St. Patrick's Day is celebrated annually on March 17th, the anniversary of his death in the 5th century. Head over any time to view the green lights as they will be displayed all day. Moving into the concerts for the week, Alan Doyle's North American Tour will be stopping in Kingston on March 11th at Kingston Grand Theatre at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $71.24 plus tax and can be purchased at kingstongrand.ca. On March 12th, Allison Russell will be performing folk music at the Isabel Bader Center from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Tickets are $50 a person and can be purchased at queensu.ca/theisabel. On March 13th, head over to Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar at 8 p.m. to see Frank Ryan perform. This event is Pay What You Want by donation to the musicians. On March 14th, The Music Movement, a student-led fundraiser concert featuring over 30 incredibly talented musicians from Queen's University, will take place at Kingston Grand Theatre at 7 p.m. This event is more than just music. The Music Movement will support the Women's Center in the Kilimanjaro region of Tanzania. This center is a beacon of hope, providing crucial healthcare services to thousands of individuals and advocating tirelessly for female reproductive rights. To purchase tickets for $25.50, visit kingstongrand.ca, and to make an additional donation, visit givetoqueens.ca. On March 15th, there will be a free open mic night at Spearhead Brewery from 7 to 10 p.m. Calling all rock and reggae fans, on March 16th, Big Sugar will be performing their signature blend of Jamaican rhythms, bluesy tones, and heavy rock at Kingston Grand Theatre from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Tickets vary in price and can be purchased at kingstongrand.ca. And lastly, on March 17th, the Mahones will be performing at the Broom Factories from 7:30 to 10 p.m. for a St. Patrick's Day celebration. Doors open at 7 p.m. Tickets are $30 and can be purchased at ticketscene.ca. Also on the 17th, celebrate St. Patrick's Day at the Royal Tavern with live music starting at 12 p.m. The Stand Up Devils, Sitting Ducks, Paula Woodband, Richard Cranium, and Jeff Jen will be taking the stage. Admission is free. This has been Danielle with your concert and events calendar for March 11th to March 17th. Wishing you all a great week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.